Hey everyone, today's episode is brought to you by our incredible sponsors that help make this show happen.
The Outdoor Podcast is proudly brought to you by XOP Outdoors, Carbon Express, Block Targets, Moultrie, Gas Bowstrings, and Burris Optics, produced by Bowhunter Planet. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of our outdoor heritage.
Grab your favorite bow, your pack, your chair, and let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Tim, this is Dave. We're here tonight talking with our good friend, Zach Goodwin from Faradine Outdoors, and we're going to be talking about a couple of your brands tonight. Sounds like you guys have some exciting things going on with several of your brands. I think we want to kick it off with Carbon Express tonight, but before we get there, Zach, how you been doing, man?
Yeah, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Hope you guys are. I'm actually up in Superior, Wisconsin at our headquarters this week.
Awesome.
Going over a lot of new product development stuff, getting ready for next year, getting ready for ATA, doing some show planning, some pricing planning, and just trying to cross all our T's and dot our I's before we move into the next season of the year.
It is crazy this time of year. Same with us, right? It's like, it's hunting season. It's exciting season. You know, you got everybody trying to get a hold of you for what's going on for this season, but you're trying to plan for next year and next season at the same time. It's kind of a double whammy.
It's really weird, especially from a product brand management standpoint. Like, we're tracking our performance and everything that we're doing this year, but you have to have a foot in two different camps.
Yeah.
For the last 3-4 months of the year. Not that it's not always on your mind and, you know, in your day to day, but it really revs up in both departments and both camps, if you will, for the last 3 months planning for ATA.
Yeah. And is ATA kind of your big launch day for a lot of the new stuff coming out next year or for that year, I should say?
Yeah. And we have historically done that. And over the last, I don't know, 5 or so years, you've seen other companies back that up. A lot of bow launches are happening in season, November, some in October. We don't have a bow brand. Most of our stuff is accessories, and we've done some mid-year launches here and there, but for the most part, ATA is our big kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think, and we've seen it with the bow companies too. A lot of them used to launch at ATA. They'd have a huge launch party, and then they kind of pulled back from that a little bit. So we've seen it come and go over the, I don't know, how many years now? 15 years, 16 years that we've been around. It's been all over. But why don't we get started with a little bit of Carbon Express? Great brand in the industry.
I was thinking real quick before we talk about that. You know, we switch over to Carbon Express this year, and I haven't broken one yet.
There you go.
That's good.
Zach, that's good. That's for Dave. That's great.
Yeah, we've broken a few arrows by now, but I haven't broken a single one. I can't believe it. I was telling Chris the other day, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, man, but you got this stuff's accurate.
I love it.
Which arrow are you shooting?
I am hunting specifically with the Photon, but Chris had sent us a bunch of everything. So we do have all the other ones that we use for the studio and doing our bow reviews and testing and all that stuff. So we have been, Tim and I just used them the other day through broadhead testing of
a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I would say like we're shooting pumpkins. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. And every time we thought the arrow did something weird, it wasn't the arrow necessarily, but the broadhead, because in this scenario, obviously broadheads are old and big. We used one broadhead, actually. I wonder if it was their broadhead. We didn't know who owned it. It looked like a Rage.
Yeah, the one with the double.
It looked like a Rage, but it had a hybrid where it had two more back blades that came down. I'm almost positive it was something of yours, but I don't know if it was something you did a couple years back and don't do it.
Or maybe so.
Because broadheads
are all over the place. If you can dream up something, you can turn
that's
it into
what it
a
was.
Broadhead.
Yeah, and we have like we have this case of just random broadheads, right?
From all
and
these different times.
You know. So we were like, hey, you know what? You know what people should start doing? Embroidering their name on it. Because we have no clue. It could be, like Dave said, it could be like 4 years old. We have no clue who made this.
I'm like, who's?
It's if you find a broadhead or you find a an ancient arrowhead, it's.
Yeah,
and made out of stone.
Yeah.
There's no way to tell which one it is, and unless you have
which one's newer.
Yeah, I am shooting. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, though. I'm being completely honest. I am shooting so good with the Photons. I am lights out right
That's
now.
That's awesome.
I did some videos at my house with them, and I was working on something. I was like, oh, shoot the photon. I'll be honest, I got a little nervous. I'd hit the arrow, and I don't like breaking arrows. So I was like, geez, I'm pinning them. You in there. So I'm very happy with this arrow right now. And to be honest, to be fair, I love the look of the arrow. The arrow itself with the whiting, you know, coloring to me is awesome and super helpful in the field when you shoot at a deer and miss or hit it and at least know where you can find your arrow because the white stands out. And I think it's very helpful.
Yeah.
So it's got that flat buffing too, to it. You know, it's not shiny white. We've seen shiny white before, but I think you'll see new products, at least in my brands, moving forward. I don't like a whole lot of bright colors, and white, black, and gray do just fine for bow accessories.
I like it.
Absolutely.
I like it. So is that full-time kind of your like, what's your core, what would you call it? I know you guys have a lot of different SKUs out there, but is there like one main staple to Carbon Express?
Yeah, and the bread and butter, and this has been for the last 15 years, is our Tri-Spine Maxima Red. You know, that's the one that kind of
most well
put known, us on the map, most well known. You know, if you see it in somebody's quiver, you know it's a Maxima Red just because of the color, the design of it. And, you know, when we bought Carbon Express 7 years ago, not a whole lot changed in the first couple of years, and we kind of got lapped a little bit with some of the, I wouldn't call it modern technology, it's just the trends changed.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Maxima Red or some of the other arrows that were in the line at the time, they were ours were heavy compared to where the industry was going. So the Photon was our first step into the lighter arrow, light, especially on the smaller diameter side of things, 5 millimeter, if you will, 204, whatever you want to call it. And we're going to continue that. Like for next year, we're expanding the Photon line, and you guys are probably the first one outside of the company that are going to know this information soon. It'll be public, everything that we're doing. We're going to expand the Photon into a 4 millimeter version, a 6 millimeter version. And, you know, that the high modulus carbon is what you're seeing from not only a durability, but a downrange accuracy performance standpoint. And we're shifting a lot of things around. We've got 5 new hunting arrows that we're going to launch at ATA.
Wow.
Yeah, it's believe me, it sounds great. And then you look at all the different spines and the SKUs and the components and everything that goes with it. I'm like, why did I sign up to do all this in 1 year?
Wow. From the consumer, not necessarily.
Yeah. From a product and inventory management and everything set up. It was a lot to undertake in a year, but you know, we really made a huge mistake 5 years ago. We cut out our shooter staff shortly after COVID shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it was a mistake when it happened. At the time, I was a regional sales manager, and I was like, oh, you're killing me. You're cutting my pro staff out. But we are relaunching that, reopening that up. I actually just hired a pro staff and tournament manager that'll start here in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
We're going to have a paid shooter staff. We're going to have shop affiliated shooter staff. We're going to offer contingency funds just like we used to, competitive to the industry. We're going to have a presence at ASA, IBO, Vegas, Lancaster, FITA, NFAA, all of it.
Great.
Bringing all of it back. And you know, it's the whole goal of everything that you do on the target arrow side of things is to sell more hunting arrows. I mean, it's 10 to 15% of the market. Everything you're doing there, you're not going to make a mint selling target arrows, but yeah, I mean, so we got a ton of new products. We got a ton of initiatives to really try to get Carbon Express back in good graces with our dealers.
Yep. Yeah.
So have you seen, I think we've seen this, but have you seen, there's been a very big trend towards the small diameter, extra small diameter type of mentality. What do you think is driving that? Is it just new? Is it the stiffness? Like, is there like, what do you guys see as the driver behind that?
Well, it's not necessarily stiffer. And that's what, that's the really hard part about making small diameter arrows. And over the last 2 years, I've learned more about arrows than I thought I knew something about them before, but holy cow, the science behind it is intense. But if you think about an arrow compared to a piece of PVC pipe or different, diameters of PVC pipe, it's really easy on the larger ones to make it stiff. It's more rigid. So if you think about a 6 millimeter arrow or a standard diameter arrow, it doesn't take as much material to make it stiff. So when you start going smaller, you've got to either add a ton of material to add that stiffness, which adds weight, or you've got to use a different material to take that weight away. Or there's different techniques in the layering of carbon that we've kind of come up with to help with some of that. But the biggest thing is just a higher grade of carbon to reduce that weight. And what's causing that trend? I think it's penetration, the ability to use half, not necessarily half outs, but sleeved insert systems for 5 millimeters, or, you know, better performing outserts for 4 millimeters. The wind drift conversation always comes into that. I don't think that's a huge factor with the way I see most people shooting. I don't think wind drift really comes into it, but I think it's the hot thing, especially on the 5 millimeter stuff. You see like the Victory HLR and the Easton 5.0s and stuff, that's the hot thing. And that's an arrow you can use for anything. You can take it to a tack event, or, you know, shoot it at 120 yards in your yard, or you can add some weight to it if you wanted to and shoot whitetail at 15 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the whole arrow segment is interesting. You know, the way you said that, like, oh, you know, we didn't make a lot of changes and we just felt like got left behind a little bit. And that's the thing. The companies are always doing something, right? They're trying to put out something. And whether or not we can sit here and debate all day if it's actually better than anything, you know, like, we all know the Reds have been around for years. This isn't like something new. That Maxima Red is, I mean, since we started working at Carbon Express back in 2012, I don't know. Whenever it came out, it was legendary instantly, and it still is today. And like you said, it puts you guys in a bad spot, though, because you can't change the Red, because the Red is, it's so symbolic, you can't really get rid of it. You know, you have to create a different label. You have to create a different, you know, so you put you in that spot where you have to do something different.
I feel like there's a loyalty, right? Oh, yeah. Like, once I start shooting a particular arrow, it's hard for me to move away from that until I move away from the bow that I'm shooting it with, right? Because
it's also
I'm used
a segment
to that
of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I think you see, and you see it in broadheads too.
Yeah. Yep.
There may not be anything wrong with your current setup, but, you know, the marketing gets you, your buddy gets you, or whatever it is to try something new.
Yeah.
Maxima Red is like the, I mean, you're right. You can't change anything. And if you do, it's just going to be a detriment to the performance.
Yeah.
Easton does the same thing with the Axis. The Axis has been around forever, but they put different label on it, you know, match grade components, all sorts of different things, but it's still the core product that really, for us, put us on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. It does put you in a weird spot where you're just like, well, I guess we got to change diameters, or we have, you know what I mean? Like, you put you in the spot where you don't really have a ton of pass here, because it's just like, okay, you make a great product. It's like, you don't want to eat your own product either, you know, right, at the same time. So, but yeah.
And once you get a product right, it's really hard to say, oh, I've improved upon this, or
yeah,
this is the 2.0. But yeah, it's the nature of this business. If you're not innovating in some way, you're getting left behind. And
that's true.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's tough at times.
But, yeah, well, to your point too, getting back into the target segment, you know, it's about brand awareness.
It's marketing. Yeah, let's be honest. You got to keep marketing the crap.
That's a huge part of it, is being out there. I mean, you guys are you know, a huge name in the aero industry, but there's others, right?
Yeah.
And so it's about keeping that brand awareness up. And, you know, so when I go to the store, it's like, oh yeah, you know, that's it.
I feel like Carbon Express is in an area right now where you guys have a lot of potential to move back into the top tier spots, because originally you guys were a top tier spot. And then, like you're saying, it kind of slipped down, not quality here by any means, but marketing kind of let it slip down a little bit. And then now there's still not that many there, though. That's what I was going to say. So the good news is the competition is fierce. Yes. But it's not huge, and it's definitely achievable to come up, because you have the product. Now it's just a matter of reminding people why it's the best.
Yeah.
You know? It's more of like, hey, this is the reminder, you know.
The way I explained it to our leadership was, you know, Carbon Express, there's a ton of different technologies, and we can get into that and go down that rabbit hole, but nobody's interested in hearing about any of that technology if you're not doing the same thing tournament-wise, contingency-wise, pro staff-wise as all the other brands. So what we're looking to do from a pro staff contingency tournament standpoint next year is just getting us even with all the other brands that participate there. And then you can have the conversation with people about what makes your product different. If you're not level on everything else, nobody's interested in hearing that conversation. You don't have the pro staff or the community of people actually pushing that message anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about design. So not necessarily the arrow itself, but the look. So, you know, the red, obviously, you know, we said it's kind of a signature look. It's really hard for you to adjust that look, and you shouldn't. It really should just be left alone with its own segment. But going forward, the new models, how do you guys decide, like what's going through your head right now about the look of that arrow? Like, how's it going to look? Because I will say, I think the look of an arrow is very important nowadays, and people have really gotten into the customization of the fletch, customization of the wraps. We're seeing a ton of that right now on TikTok and stuff, where people are spending the money to go to these custom builders to have them, you know, essentially you give them the shaft and they'll have it all done on the front end. But what's your thoughts on that? Like, where are you guys at with that? Like, what kind of color schemes are you thinking, you know, for the new stuff? And where's that going to lead, I guess?
You guys have been around long enough that orange and yellow and lime green, those colors with accessories were synonymous before the custom stuff came out. And yeah, we kind of got locked into that with a lot of our models, like in the Destroyer series, which is our dual spine offering that's going away now. This, you know, pile driver, the heavy version of that was green, and everything was green about it. The box, the label, the fletching, everything. And it pins you in a corner. If I don't like green, there's no chance I'm shooting that arrow.
Right.
No matter what the performance is. So my thought outside of the red, and we have a couple of different colors other than red that we launched a couple of years ago. We've got basically like an OD green, we call it a drab, and then we have a stone, which is like a gray. So same arrow, the veins are different on it, the components are a little bit different, but just to expand the red, we offered a couple of different colors, but other than that, that's going to stay the same. You know, for Photon, like I talked about earlier, white, black, gray, muted colors that still pop in a way. You know, there's design ways on a label to make something pop without pinning you in a corner. So that's more of the idea moving forward, because exactly what you just said, the custom side of things, if you want your arrows to look a certain way, I don't want it to clash with our label. I still want people to know it's our arrow, but I don't want to pin you in a corner to where you can't use it because you want pink and pink doesn't go with orange.
Yeah.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Right.
First time you said, I was going to say that you're still going. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I love it, man. But that is, I mean, the trend for several years now has been customization. So keeping that
this draft is sweet,
pushing
too.
Out new product, I think, is huge, because it just keeps you open to people that, like you said, you know, if I'm going to customize, I'm going to look for the one that I can customize, not the one that is not going to be, you know, is not going to be the right color for what I want ultimately.
It's also interesting because you, as a whole, your company as a whole, you guys kind of actually, you fill almost the whole segment of the arrow from the lighted nock to the broadhead to the arrow itself. Is that something that might come as a package, or do you already have that, or no? Like a package system?
We've tried it, and it's some customers that works. You know, I'm going to pick up these arrows, these pre-cut arrows with, you know, come with lighted nocks and broadheads, or it's more successful on the crossbow bolt side of things.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep.
This isn't a stick. It's a climbing tool. Purpose-built, field-proven, ridiculously capable. Meet Hydro, the new standard in micro-light climbing performance. Engineered for hunters who climb smarter, faster, and farther, Hydro is equipped with the XR2 rope system, a lightning-fast, rock-solid attachment that thrives in both traditional and technical climbing setups. The wide V-bracket, paired with Axis teeth, locks into any tree type with total confidence, minimizing kickout, maximizing control. Fast up, solid down, no wasted energy. Built from our proprietary I7 alloy, Hydro delivers insane strength with minimal weight. An ergonomic handle gives you more comfort on long ascents, and integrated attachment points let you customize with aiders to match your climb style. Each Hydro comes standard with the Reactor 3-step aider, ready to run straight out of the box. Minimal, modular, mission ready. Whether it's the first stick on the tree or the last one down, Hydro is built to perform.
Even the low-cost bows, like Bear Archery's doing, have the front Picatinny now and the IMS. Even the low costs. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
That is huge. Like, that is, now you're talking a whole different segment. You're putting that, what was once just high technology on high-end bows on across everything. So now...
it just reaffirms where the industry's going, yeah, right? I mean, that, we're going to see that as the standard.
Hoyt was the first one with the pick rail, but I don't think there's any IP around that. So
I don't think either. Yeah.
I think that people are realizing, and there was some issues, not only with Hoyts, but just getting that system across the line. But now I think it's probably a better mounting system than, you know, on the backside of the riser, you know, the standard 8-12 holes or whatever it is that, that you put on there. So, you know, maybe a standard mount sight is a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's definitely possible.
Yep.
So,
we would be remiss if we talked about arrows, but didn't talk about what goes on the front of the arrow. So want to talk about Rage for a minute.
All right.
What a staple in the industry. First of all, I mean, everybody that hunts knows Rage. Everybody knows somebody that shoots with a Rage or has shot with a Rage. I really don't. And if you don't, I would be very, very surprised. I mean, you guys are just that big of a name in the broadhead world.
I feel like Rage just kept up, though, you know, and like you said, like, you know, Carb Express has kind of backed off a little bit on the marketing. Rage has always kept its just
always at the forefront.
Always at the forefront.
Yeah, on the tip of everybody's tongues. I remember going to the ATA, and you know, you just hear people going to the Rage booth. Hugely popular.
I feel like Rage is one of those brands that people use and they love it,
and they
and that's it. They're not gonna get. Not that they don't want to try some of these other brands, but I think they always end up coming back. It's just like my cousin with Muzzy. I was telling Chris about this. My cousin shoots a Muzzy 3-blade since 1993, and he won't not have it, or whatever year, 95, somewhere in there. He will only use the Muzzy 3-blade. He screws it all up, you know, brings it all together. And
that's kind of what it is with Rage. Is like Rage came out at a time where mechanicals were having, you know, you weren't getting a consistent experience with mechanicals. And so Rage comes along and no issues, right? That's the one thing everybody says is, you know, it's a mechanical. I've never had an issue with Rage. We hear that over and over again. And it's just consistency there, right? And so it just became this huge mechanical name. But you guys, I'm sure you guys are always working on new stuff. What's kind of been the trend? Like, what's been the big thing this year? And then can you give us a little bit of a hint as to what may be coming next year?
Yeah, I can hint to it a little bit. I don't want to give anything away.
Don't give it away. We don't want you to give it away.
Give it away.
So about 3 years ago, I want to take it back a little bit, just give you some background on what's been going on with Rage. Three years ago, we kind of had a shift in leadership, a lot of turnover in people, product knowledge, you know, it just a lot of change happened. And, you know, when we brought in Mike Keeney, who is our new product development VP, he wanted to put new testing protocols in place. He would hear rumblings of some issues, blades being dull or brittle, or, you know, things like that. And from a quality control standpoint, it's not acceptable, especially from an industry leading brand like Rage. So we started doing testing, putting those protocols in place, and we did have some issues. And, you know, we took those head on. We developed new ways of making sure that the blades deployed like they were supposed to. They were sharp right out of the pack. that, you know, we can take every blade that comes on a Rage now and you can bend it to 90 degrees in a machine, and you're not going to see any tearing in the metal or shearing off or anything like that. So there's just like, we had a lot of getting right to do before, you know, we could really take the next steps on innovation. And about the same time, the patent for the slip cam technology, ran out. So you started seeing other brands come out with, rear deploying broadheads that were Rage lookalikes. You know, yeah. They had their modifications a little bit different here and there, but, you know, to the person that's not doing it every day, it looks like a Rage. So, you know, we've had to fight that battle, and there's some other IP that's protected that we, you know, we try to protect, but, you know, it's been an uphill battle, and it's just like we talked about with Carbon Express. When you really find something, a system, even on broadheads, if you change a little something, it's still that same system, the same functionality that's proven. So we came out with a no collar system about, that was what, 5-6 years ago. That deploys a little bit different. That was something new. People always had a problem with the collars. You know, they bump it on a tree branch and it deploys a blade, or breaks the pedal off a collar, and then they got to either unscrew it and put it back together or switch it out. So the no collar solved a lot of people's issues. And I think it brought a bunch of new people to Rage, a bunch of people back to Rage to try those. And we kind of rode that wave. We expanded that line into some different tips. We came up with a titanium ferrule version in the tri-pan. And then we really started feeling the pressure of the mega meat that kind of came into the fold and really started taking off. So, and it's the curiosity factor. You know, there's people out there that they might've been completely happy with Rage, but their buddy said that this new three blade from G5 is killer. Knocks a huge hole. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and badmouth anything, but when you hear that pressure from another brand, you've got to find attention. A way to combat it.
Yeah.
And we have a three blade. It performs great. We sell a whole bunch of them. People that shoot them love them, but it's not a 2-inch cut. And not gonna hint to anything else new for next year, but it's something that we hear. So I mean,
yeah,
it's really hard to kind of raise that bar when you get to a certain point, but you know, we're constantly innovating and trying to find that next new deployment system, next new technology that we can implement into it, because we know that there's people curious out there that want to try something new.
Do you ever guys talk about, you know, if you can't answer this, that's fine. But do you guys ever talk about like one of the ways to do that is just, you know, purchasing another brand?
Oh God, I don't bring that up. That's the last day. Acquisition's a dirty word around here. It seems like it's going to be great. You see all this upside, and then, you know, everybody's got skeletons in the closet that shake out. But, you know, we have a really good engineering team that I'm confident in, you know, and, you know, the new one that launched this year, and that's by, you know, the former, or he's the founder of Rage, Larry Poltebeck. I mean, he started a new broadhead company in Speed Broadheads, and it's got a new deployment system, and it gets talked about a lot in our inner circle. You know, how do we combat this? How do we combat, you know, Beast Broadheads with what they're doing? And, you know, it's constantly on the forefront of our mind. And that's always an option. But it gets to the point that, you know, like, we're Rage. We are the industry standard in mechanical broadheads.
Yep.
We still sell more packs of broadheads than any other brand. We don't have to buy you out to gain this back. We can innovate, and we can come up with something cool and do it ourselves.
That's great. No, I like that comment, because you know, it is a different conversation when you're talking about a brand that you're trying to grow versus a brand that you're trying to keep at the top.
Yeah.
Right. And there's different ways that you go about each one of those conversations. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to, And this goes to just life in general. You have to keep innovating yourself, right? You have to keep going to that next level. Yes, there's always going to be that core product, that core, you know, character that you're always going to have, but you keep innovating yourself and it just inches higher and higher and higher. So I love it, man. Yeah.
And this industry moves so fast now. It's crazy.
So quick. I can't believe it.
And post-COVID, I feel like it's a lot different. I don't know what it is, but I mean, if your brand doesn't have a new widget, you are getting left behind.
It's like a tradition. 100%. Yeah. Well, the boat companies come out with something new every year. I feel bad for them too. Your company.
Yeah, they've launched new boats every year. They don't want to. I've had this conversation with all of them.
No,
like, I love it if we could all come together and not launch for 2 more years. You know, but no one will do it. You know, everybody wants to get the edge on everybody else. And it's unfortunate because I agree. Most of these bows are good enough for a couple of years, you know. I mean, they can easily keep selling into the next year, you know. But and the other thing is, you know, not to make it any more pressure on you, but you guys do own a very large portfolio of brands.
Yeah.
And very good brands, well-known names, Rhino Blinds. I mean, just so huge, many amazing brands in there, you know. And it's so it makes it very difficult for you guys because you have to then, like, you know, do that forever. Like you said, you're separated by a couple brands and Chris has some brands or whoever, right? Yep. And that it's, you have to do it that way because you guys have so much going on with these amazing brands. I mean, Muzzy Bow Fishing, Muzzy as a whole. I mean, these are
Muzzy as a whole.
I mean, again, you know, well-known brands, but again, well-known brands to the people who grew up in the 90s and 2000s. Right. And so the young kids may be buying these new broadheads might be like, well, maybe I don't want Rage. Maybe I want to try this Beast, or you know what I mean? Like, so I get what you're saying. There's definitely this, you gotta stick with it and try to keep on it. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like this industry is in a lot of ways, it's going through what beer went through 10, 15 years ago. You know, you've got the staples, the huge brands in beer, and then the micro breweries and stuff started popping up, and it got, That was just cool to try something new, whether it tasted good or not. And it seems like we're kind of in a spot like that. And I think there's some distaste from not only from the dealers, but maybe the consumers over large brands. You know, we are a large company. We're owned by private equity, and you know that there's some drawbacks to that. From a business standpoint, I get that. I've been in this industry a long time at this point. I know what the disadvantages are. What I want people to understand about our brands is we live this stuff. You know, the people running this company, the people that are designing the products, you know, marketing the products, you know, running these brands day in and day out, selling it, our inside and outside sales team, they live this stuff. They're bow hunters. You know, I really want, you know, not only the consumers, but just everybody in the industry to understand that we're not just some big corporation. We're a company of bow hunters. And you know, we've got some big brands and, you know, we live this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. 100%. And you know, what's not talked about though, and this is funny, is all the little companies that we're talking about are kind of like, you know, hey, this little company, they all want the same thing. They all want to be purchased by Faradine or GSM, or that's what they really want. I mean, they'll never tell you that, but they're just trying to line themselves up to get a huge payday and sell out. Right. And then it's your problem. That's what they're trying. Realistically, that's what's this trying, just like this new Speed one. These all look just like your broadheads. They look identical. This is crazy. I look at this going, really? Like, this is just looks like a Rage. So to me, it's like, what are you trying to do? Just redo the same thing and sell it again? You know, it's like strange to me, but whatever. But the bow market is a little more interesting because I feel like it hasn't, it's, the accessories are one thing, but the bows themselves, I feel like we have not seen the toppling yet of the major brands, and they've been able to hold and maintain for years. And the little companies who come up to try to meet them always fail, that I've seen at least. They've never reached that, like, you know, they've never gotten to that plateau where they can
get into the top four. It's a hard market to break
into. Yeah, even the top five. It's so hard to break into the top five with a new compound bow.
Unless somebody finds a way to just kill it direct to consumer.
Well, that's different.
It'd be so hard for a dealer to push a smaller bow company where the margins aren't there.
Yeah.
Supply's not there, you know, and people aren't coming in asking for
it. I hate to say it, guys, but that is happening, and it's Chinese. That's the problem. Yeah, right. American brands are locked up, just like you guys are all locked up with pro shops that are making, you know, if you do something wrong, they might get mad and cut you. I get it. I understand. Yeah. There's politics there. But those Chinese companies can just walk in and take the floor on Amazon. That's what's happening. I mean, they literally
are
selling bows like hotcakes. 33,000 four-star ratings, you know. So what does that tell you? 33,000 people bought a cheap
console. That tells me they're faking the ratings. But anyway.
That's nuts. Maybe, but I doubt it.
No, man. I'm just kidding.
People don't want to deal with pro shops. Some people, I have nothing against pro shops. I'm not talking bad about pro shops, but some people are nervous. They don't want to walk into a pro shop to buy a bow. They just say, well, it's $250. Let me just buy online. See if
I'm. Or they don't know better, right? They're not educated enough to know why they need to go into a pro shop, right?
Well, they do it once, and then they get this bow in, and they try to shoot it, and they derail the cam, or they can't hit the broadside of a barn. And then they bring it into the dealer like, hey, you sell bows here. Can you fix this? And
the dealer,
a lot of
say
shops
no.
are going to charge, you know, $120 for a, you know, full setup of a bow you didn't buy here.
Yeah.
And you make that mistake once, and I feel like you get that customer again when that, you know, that poor quality bow,
it could draw them in, out to go up, right, and buy the right stuff.
Especially when you understand that they're like, there's really good bow companies that make really good bows at a lower price point, at a low price point.
Yeah,
you can actually
the price point game in the bow market has really stepped it up. Especially they're using some of their recycled and older technology in them.
They keep just pushing it down, and it becomes cheaper and cheaper. Bear's a great example
just
of that.
Found out today. I didn't know this. I was talking to PSC. I just found out they have an $850 bow that has some of the premium stuff on it though. And I was like, really? And you know, Prime also does with the Ronin, same thing. Yeah. 850. Darton has some that are like the Consequence. One of them is in the 700 mark. Bear obviously has a crap ton in that range from $400 to $800. Huge range.
But they're just feeling the pressure too. You know, we don't sell bows, but and we see this going on, and it's happening in our categories, but they see that bow has 33,000 reviews. That's like that's missed customers, and that's a big ring for to be able to sell a bow. So they know that they have to do something. When it comes to the direct to consumer aspect of it, you know, I'm a firm believer that this industry is built off of the independent retailer, and there's a place for it. There's remote areas of this country that if you don't have a bow press, you're going to drive a long way to find somebody that does.
Yeah,
some of the tuning aspects of these newer bows is great because you know you don't have to have a press or don't have to be an expert to be able to work on your own bow. But you know, there's always going to be a place for the independent retailer. This direct to consumer stuff is scary for them, for the bow manufacturers, for all of us.
Yeah,
I have an idea though for this stuff. I know how to fix this issue, but I'm not going to say it on here. I'll tell you guys offline.
I need that idea. I got my pen ready.
It is an absolute amazing idea. And I think that even the pro shop would want to do it because it's a win-win for everybody.
Why don't we leave it there? Why don't we leave everybody kind of wondering? It has been amazing to talk to you, Zach. We really appreciate you coming on. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot more, and we'll be watching at the ATA to see what's coming out because we're excited.
Yes, so awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Outdoor Podcast.
All right, man. Thanks for your time.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.